Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Diehards, it's Monday. It's time to go out and make a f-ing sale. Do you know the hardest door to open in sales is your car door? Why don't you get your ass in the car and go out and make a few sales calls? I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the book, Get Shit Done. It's Monday. Go get shit done.
Thanks, Jeffrey. I'm Jen Gittimer, author of Sales in a New York Minute, and it's time. We're so excited you've joined us today because we have an amazing episode. Take a listen. So, you guys, this is kind of funny. People wonder what our private conversations are like as, like, husband and wife, not just, like, as
I wonder what
podcast. I walked in here and we literally started talking about conscious competence, and it was 2 minutes before the show, and then Adam's like, you guys, you're live. We're going live. Like, you're actually, like, live right now.
So you're in the middle of our conversation.
You're literally hearing the ending of our conversation. Like, this is literally, like, we dork out and we have fun at it.
Right. But this is, there's more to it than that. We have a topic today.
Yes. Yes, we do. We have a topic. We are
What's
prepared.
Our topic?
But wait, who are you? Are you here? Say hey if you're watching us on Facebook.
Yeah.
If you're watching the replay, give us a little hashtag replay. We're going to be talking about the number one thing that will predetermine the outcome of your sale. But first, who are you?
My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling and the latest book, Get Shit Done.
Hell yeah. And I'm Jen Gittimer, and I'm the author of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up? Thank you for joining us. We are so glad you're here. We have such an important topic to deliver to you today that we've been thinking about
for years and years.
For a while now.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, what do you think? Let's take a quick poll here. What do you think is
the number one
thing that's going to predetermine the outcome
of your
sale?
That's what I want to know.
Jim, hey, Bob, what's up? Thank you guys for saying hey. Jim, when we went to Fargo, Jeffrey got obsessed with this
shepherd's pie.
Irish
shepherd's
bar
pie.
That sold shepherd's pie, and we had to go there every day.
Right
and
across from the hotel, wherever it was. It was like in a farm field, which everything in Fargo is kind of a farm field. But this was a hotel that was like built at like a phoenix. You drive in, and there's a bar right in front of the place. The shepherd's pie was unbelievable. Not only did we eat there every day, I even got an order of it to go so I could eat it on the plane.
The Uber driver on the way to the airport was like upset because her whole car smelled like shepherd's pie and we didn't get her any.
That's true. That's funny.
John, what's up? Wendy, hello, hello. Thank you guys for saying hey. Please share this out to your friends. Invite them to come along.
Okay, so
and
what do you think is the most important thing?
The belief that the buyer is better off having purchased from me. Your belief system. Bob, you sound like a Jeffrey Gittimer follower. I love it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a big one. That is a big one. But I'm talking about predetermining. So if that's a very important thing. Let's say there's several number one things. Believing in your heart that the customer is better off having purchased for you certainly is huge. But salespeople are too smart. They already know everything. And don't take my word for it. Go try to buy a car or go try to buy a television set in an appliance store or a washer and dryer. These are people, or a mobile home. These are people that have their pitch down and don't really give a shit about the customer other than their ability to pay. If I walk into a car dealership, I will guarantee you someone's going to say, do you have a car for sale? Real estate people, do you have a house for sale? Do you have a mortgage? Like, what are you doing? And in the car business, and I'll reveal this, you're known as an up when you walk in the door. It comes from, it's actually a traditional thing.
Like next up.
Right, next up, like you're up, And then they just shortened it to, oh, it's an up. Like they blame the customer for, why don't they just say,
like here I got a bad up?
Yeah. Here comes, here comes a person or a family or a man and woman wanting to buy the coolest car on the planet and I get to help them.
But here's the problem with that car salesperson. And if you're a car salesperson, not you, but most of them.
Yeah.
They look at the up, they look at the person who comes in and they predetermine the outcome of their sale because they immediately decide based on that person's looks.
This guy's going to buy. This guy's not going to buy. This is a one-legged buyer, which is only the woman comes.
Oh, God.
And it needs her husband to. Like, seriously, you don't need your husband to make a decision. The husband simply agrees with you. That's it.
No, but they immediately make a decision in their mind of whether or not that person's going to buy. They're looking at, I know it to be true because when I worked in retail, people would walk into the store and I had hired some salespeople to work with me and they would come back into the, you know, back room if I was in there. Oh yeah, she's not, she's wearing a Louis Vuitton bag, so she's going to buy a lot.
Yeah.
Or she just can't, the girl in there is in sweatpants. She's probably not going to buy anything. You know what?
It's
I used to shop in sweatpants and see who would say hey to me. I would do experiments.
Yeah.
And in college, and I would see who would say hey to me and who would greet me versus who wouldn't. And I would drop $1,000 with the person that would be super friendly because I worked in college and I had all this extra cash. But I would drop what seemingly is a lot of money and retail commissions with someone who was nice to me. And the person who didn't say hey to me, I would go over to them and their manager, and I would say, I'm so sorry, but since you were too busy to say hello to me or you prejudged me and you thought I wasn't going to buy anything because I just rolled in here in sweatpants, I'm going to go right across the street to your competitor and I'm going to shop with them. I hope you have a nice day.
The ultimate story of that bullshit happened in Las Vegas to me when I was in Neiman Marcus 10 minutes before they closed on a Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
And no one would come. No one would come up to me.
They were like all too busy.
And I'm picking out stuff left and right. So I go over to this group of people talking to one another, and I asked for the store manager. And the store manager comes over, and I said, hey, my salesperson in Charlotte at Neiman Marcus is Charles Wiggins, and I'm going to buy a bunch of stuff only if he gets the commission. Because these people were they thought it was more important to talk to one another than just come over and
or
say, hey.
Or be on their cell phones. People are so freaking busy.
They prejudged me.
Oh,
anyway, Charles got the commission, and he was the hero of Neiman Marcus. I can promise you that. But here's the deal, and this is our subject. Do you or how do you or why do you prejudge someone based on what they look like, what they're dressed like, how they sound, or where they live? You can't be doing that anymore because Steve Jobs wore flip-flops and never changed his outfit. Always wore the same black shirt and blue jeans.
And some of you are thinking like, well, I don't prejudge people. I want you to check yourself the next time you're on a sales call.
Exactly.
If you're actually making a determination in your head, oh, this guy's going to buy for me or, oh, this guy's not. Because the minute you say this guy or gal, whatever, the prospect's not going to buy from you, is the minute you actually decide that that's where that sale's going to go. And you steer it in that way without even realizing it. It's like an unconscious thing because your thoughts are saying to you, oh, he's not going to buy. You believe that. And then you create actions based on that.
So what you need to do is question them rather than prejudge them.
Ooh.
And question them in terms of them, not in terms of you. So for example, and this is an example I've used many times, someone goes in to buy a house and the realtor says, do you have a house for sale? Or do you have a mortgage right now or a pre-mortgage approval or what's your budget or have you ever missed a mortgage payment? If someone asked me that, I would kick him in the groin. Assuming it's a man. But what I want to find out is, tell me about the bedroom that you grew up in. Tell me about do you have siblings? Tell me about your bedroom and their bedroom. Tell me about the best house you've ever lived in. Those are things that will get you to judgment rather than prejudgment. And that judgment that you get will lead you to the next question, lead you to the next question, and ultimately lead you to answers that will help them. Answers that will help the person buy from you, not disqualify them based on what they look like or what they sound like. That's bullshit.
I want to, yes, and I want to go deeper on that and talk about why some of you feel compelled or like you have to qualify people because your sales manager is telling you to. But before we get there, I want to make sure we're saying hey to the people who are being so nice to comment and, of course, invite your friends to this post. Like Jim is a block away from that Shepherd's Pie place.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
We stayed at the Element. That's where the event was. That's where the customer put us up.
Oh,
Melissa, good morning. Dave Ferguson, what's up? Ron Goodwin, hello, hello. He says husband and wives are not allowed to shop together at Goodwin Graphics.
By the way, if you're, as your wife, there'll be thousands of people watching this eventually. Check out Ron Goodwin. He's a really cool guy.
He's really good.
He makes t-shirts. He makes mugs. He does all kinds of ad specialties. He fucking rocks. And he's funny. And he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And in spite of the fact that he lives in Boston, we're trying to get him to move to Charlotte so that he can become a real human being instead of a Boston fan.
Oh, man.
It's probably not going to happen. But the bottom line is he is a valuable person in his subject area. And he totally gets it.
Hell yeah. And Edward, hello, hello. He says a lot of salespersons think they know everything and they don't listen to the customer. But what they are doing is they're listening to their sales manager who says, you have to make 100 calls or you have to make however many visits with customers and you better qualify them. Don't waste your time with customers who aren't going to buy. You have to like find out from the very first 30 seconds if they're going to buy from you or not. Do you think that's even possible?
Well, no. And also, some salespeople are in the sales prevention department. I'm going to give an example. The first time I ever bought a Lexus, I went to the dealership in Charlotte, Hendrick Lexus, and I don't like leather seats. For some reason, they're not warm to me. They all have heaters to prove that they're... So I have the kind of lamb's skin, whatever, furry thing on my seats. But I didn't say anything about it.
They're kind of girly, honey.
Yeah, they are kind of girly. But they're comfy. And I go into this place, and a female car salesperson comes up to me, and I said, listen, I'd like a Lexus, but I don't want the leather seats. And she goes, well, the cloth seats take a long time.
Nah.
In other words, she's trying to get to switch me.
I need your sale today. It's not, the 28th.
Not like I have the perfect solution for you. Rather... defying me.
Yeah.
And she goes, it can take up to 6 months to get cloth seats. And I said, you mean I'd have to buy next year's model? And just to, you know, and so I went into the general manager's office and I said, these people are idiots. They won't take yes. They don't understand. And that led me to train for Lexus for years.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
That dumb person. But the bottom line was she didn't offer anything of value. She just tried to threaten me into a decision or coerce me, manipulate me into a decision based on her need, not based on my desire. And when you prejudge somebody, you do exactly the same thing. You put them into a category where they're going to fit into your square peg or round hole. And if they don't, then too bad. It's a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah. So a lot of you guys talked about in the comments here the things you think will predetermine the outcome of your sale, your belief system, your relationships, your level of ability. But your thoughts going into that sale.
Yeah. Are going to determine
the outcome every time. And they're like the thing that kind of quietly exists that you're not even thinking about. You don't think about, well, I'm thinking I'm going to win the sale or I'm thinking I'm going to lose the sale or whatever. Those thoughts predetermine your outcome every time.
I'm going to give you a way you can check yourself.
Ooh, yeah.
You're in a conversation with someone and you don't think they're a sale. And something happens on your phone. It rings or it buzzes and you look at it. Because if you're in the heat of the battle and you think somebody is going to make a sale with you and give you money, fuck the phone. It'll wait. But if you don't think it's going to happen, you're going to look at your phone and pretend like you're important and busy. I promise
oh,
you
man,
that,
I love
that's,
that
that is a truth that will help you determine where you are in the process. And I think Ron Goodwin just texted me to
prove. He said, love you too.
Oh.
All right. So Jeffrey wrote this a long time ago. I don't know when, but it's relevant to this day. And you said, an open mind equals an open wallet.
Ooh. God, I was good that day.
Yeah. You said, don't try to type the person. Sell yourself on he will or won't. Set your mind to help everyone.
Yeah.
And an open mind equals an open wallet.
Very open wallet, because you'll be able to find out, number one, why they want to buy, what they want their outcome to be after purchase, and then you can talk about money, but not until. Because why are they even talking to you? They want what you have, or they may need what you have. Cold calling is a different thing. Total waste of time, but that's a whole other issue.
Another episode.
Yeah, that's another episode. Biggest waste of time in sales, cold calling. Let's do that for next week. Can we make a note of that, please? Thank you. So our production, we have a production department here at Sell or Die and the Sell or Die Empire. And our department, Adam, is making a note of it.
I love it.
We recorded some hippo videos this morning, and I'll tell you what, he was amazing.
He always is.
Yeah.
So he just gave that. So the other day, a salesperson said to me, I'm selling to this particular niche, and I've gotten in touch with 4 people so far, you know, that seem like potential buyers.
Yeah.
And she said, but none of them are going to buy till April. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, their season starts a little bit after that, and so they're holding off. I'm like, so you spoke to 4 people. 2 of them, this is what she told me, 2 of them told you that they're going to buy in April. So now you're assuming that all of them in your niche aren't going to buy till April.
Yeah.
So when you go into, sometimes you don't even realize that your thoughts are existing and that you're creating a belief system that could potentially be hurting you. So if her belief is, I'm going to make these calls and send these emails and create this sequence for the next 6 weeks, but no one's going to buy this month. And
so,
F March. March is out too. No one's going to buy in March. How's that going
to
help?
It's not. Here's what you're going to have to do. You construct a statement or a question around what's happening at this moment to change the mindset of the customer's buying decision timeline. So, for example, hi, Bob. You know me. I'm from Jeffrey Gittimer's office, and we specialize in your kind of company. And I'm finding that several of our customers are saying, no, not till April. And let me tell you why that's incorrect and how you can win as a result of it. If you get a jump on the season, if your guys are trained and ready to go when April 1 arrives, you're going to be a hell of a lot more productive based on where you are right now. And their mindset is going to be ready to win rather than cautious about who will renew and who won't. I'm challenging you, now is the time, and I'd like to find out how you're going to be making this decision.
I love that. It's kind of like saying, oh, yeah, your competitors have been saying the same thing, but the actual superstars that we see exceed and succeed the most start now. Would you like to be in that group?
Yeah, exactly.
And would you like to be in the group of the winners?
So let's get together with your budget people and talk about today's the day rather than next, because they'll blame it on budget every time.
Right, right.
So I say, let's get together with your budget people, making them feel like they don't have to blame it on budget, but we can actually get a decision. Because if we're able to move forward, everyone benefits.
Right. And so if you're in an industry where you feel like I think payroll is similar, where a lot of people who are going to change their payroll really don't want to change till the end of the year, so that at the beginning of the year they can start their payroll in a new system versus having to change everything over in the middle of the year. And so I've heard this is, you know, so I've heard payroll specialists, salespeople say like, oh yeah, well, no, most like 85% of my sales come in November, December, January versus the rest of the year. That's fine, but you need a strategy to get sales the rest of the year, A, and B, you need an open mind. Because if you're creating that belief system that that is true, that's going to keep happening over and over and over.
I know some really good payroll people that you buy the person rather than the system. The guy who sold us initially in Charlotte was a guy named Bob Burnett. Where is Bob? I'm putting it out on the internet. Where's Bob Burnett, the payroll guy?
But we work with Brittany now.
Huh?
We work with Brittany from Bob and Dave.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Oh, okay.
But Bob was a great sales guy. I wonder if he'd come work for us.
Oh.
He was damn good.
All right, Bob, we need you.
Exactly. but other people recognize that the customer buys you first. And rather than making a prejudgment and having a negative attitude, just sell yourself. Put yourself in a position where the customer buys into you for two reasons. Number one, you may make that sale. And number two, the person who you disqualified mentally, you don't know who they are. You don't know who they live next door to. You don't know where they worked before. You don't know if they could be a referral source for you. Who the hell are you to prejudge somebody in a negative way that precludes you not just from making a sale, but making a bunch of sales? I can remember when my buddy, who's a very wealthy real estate commercial guy, called a realtor in Dilworth because he wanted to buy a home in our neighborhood, and called up and said, hey, I'm looking for a house in Dilworth. And the guy said, do you have a house for sale? And my friend just hung up on the guy.
Bye.
Like, seriously? That's your first question, you fucking moron?
Oh.
I'm sorry. You fucking idiot is what I meant to say. So you have a choice in what you do. And the choice is, are you helping or preventing? Because many times companies are in the sales prevention department.
Does the same apply for sales professionals when it comes to prejudging? Should the sales professional dress appropriately?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think that the sales professional should dress the part. You don't want to come in look like, if your customer comes in looking like a slob, they're allowed to. You don't want to look like a slob because the customer is going to judge you and determine whether or not they want to talk to you or buy from you. And they're allowed. Guess what? It's their money. It's their wallet. They get to decide whether or not they want to buy from you. And so, yeah, you should look presentable.
I have, my personal philosophy is smart casual. I don't want to look like I got a coat and tie on because it's not me. I want to make sure that what I'm wearing is very appropriate and stylish. I want to make sure that I don't have to comb my hair, but I do have to prepare the rest of my look so that when people see me, they go, oh, guy's got his shit together.
You don't have to comb your hair? That's bullshit.
I know. Well, I got it. Sometimes I got to like,
I brushed
it.
My hair, yeah. Today. So,
smart casual will get you more sales than coat and tie.
When you look in the mirror, you need to ask yourself, am I approachable? If I were someone else, would I feel like my outfit says, come over and talk to me? Or would I feel like my outfit screams, stay away? And if it screams, stay away, then change your damn outfit.
Many companies make their salespeople wear their little logo on their shit, their logo. And it's okay, but to me, I don't like it personally.
If you have to wear like a uniform of some sort, put something on it that gives it flair. That's you. So that like pins are really in style right now. So you could put some pins on it so that people can have a conversation piece. Like they have something to talk about.
So let's talk about the uniform business, which I worked in for a decade or more to many, many different companies and found that none of them got it.
Mm.
They sell and run away and let Dwayne the driver take over the account, the dumbest fucking thing on the planet.
Dwayne the driver might be really nice.
Yeah, but for the most part, it means the salesperson can't get a referral and has to keep cold calling and will eventually quit. Okay. And then they have to wear their shirt with their logo on it. Why not wear a work shirt? Why not wear a shirt that you're trying to sell and look cool about it? Like world's greatest salesperson or world's greatest helper or, you know, there's so many things that they could do that they don't because they don't use their creativity and they look like fucking lemmings that everybody has
to
look
at. You're all about the F-bomb this morning.
Sorry, I apologize.
You don't have to apologize.
Yeah,
just
douchebag lemmings that are marching to the sea so they can look like the other person. Stop that. Have a different look about you. Can you imagine walking in on a cold call to somebody? This is what I sell. How do I look? You look okay. Right. And your people need to look okay too. Boom. Otherwise, you're just, let me show you my samples.
What I learned.
I don't want to see your samples. I don't even want to see you.
One of the things I realized working in retail is like, the most unassuming person is going to be your biggest buyer. The person who comes in with no makeup on at the very butt early of beginning of the day or like right before the store is closing and isn't dressed up and is just like literally there to buy something, but they don't look it. You know, they don't, they're so under assuming. And that's why you can't prejudge anybody. Yeah. Just make friends. Just be nice. Like, if you follow the most simplistic things that your parents taught you when you were little, smile and be nice to people and, you know, and greet people and say hello and be polite. Like, it's so easy to then build a relationship that will make a sale. But if you're so caught up in your head about, oh, I need another sale. Is this my buyer? Is this, I don't know. There's two people here. Which one should I pay more attention to? Just be nice to everybody.
Right. Exactly. Just be yourself, which I'm trying to be myself, Ron.
Oh my
I apologize
God.
For going
Ron
over.
Ron says, clean up your mouth. His daughter's favorite teacher is here.
So Penelope, I totally apologize. Or Ms. Brindley, however you go by. I totally apologize.
Oh, man.
Look up the Henry... wants to know, can you briefly mention the main steps of an effective sales process? We're going to do that on another show, but I don't want to not answer Henry with one thing. The biggest mistake that salespeople make in any kind of selling process is they fail to prepare in terms of the customer. They walk into the sales call not ready. And it shows in 2 seconds. And in today's world where you can get ready in an instant, you have to be more knowledgeable about the customer than you are about your own product. And if you have that as your preamble, you're going to be fine. Otherwise, you're going to go into your stupid ass spin selling program.
But Henry, we're going to tag you on the next episode where we thank you for your inspiration. We will go very deep into the steps of an effective sales process for you and others who are likely wondering the same exact thing. Thank you guys for watching this. We have to go now.
We do?
Yeah. But before we go, if you want to join Jeffrey's free webinar next week, it's called Differentiate or Die. And it's all about creating differentiation in your sales process. And for Henry, that is one of the pieces of the sales process.
Yeah.
And so Jeffrey's going to be giving 3.5 strategies to differentiate yourself from your competition so that you can win each and every time.
There are hundreds of people have already registered.
Yeah, over 500
cool.
people as of this morning have already registered, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's free. So we'll pop that link in there. We'll pin it to the top. And we'll make sure you can register as well. So until next time, I'm Jen Gittimer.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your rear end falls off. How'd I do there, Ron?